my name in Spanish or Lawrence.
Is that how you would say it in English, Lawrence?
Lawrence.
How would you say it in Spanish?
Lorenzo.
Lorenzo.
But normally we say it in Catalan, Lawrence. Sounds well or not?
I think it sounds very nice. Go as how you identify yourself, because
okay.
People want to get the flavor of who you are.
Hi, this is Llorenç Frigola from Moma Cider. We are located in Girona, north of Catalonia, Spain, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode 67. Welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Wincoller, and I am the producer and cider MC on this weekly podcast where we speak with cider makers and enthusiasts and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And this week, we are in an area of Spain that many would know as Catalonia. Speaking with Llorenç Frigola and his cidery, Moma. There'll be more on that chat in just a moment. Well, now we're going to knock this ball right out of the park this week by starting with a 5-star review and rating left on iTunes for this here podcast. And it came in from Matt. He wrote, "Hours and hours of conversation from all over the cider-making world. Keep it coming. Cheers." Well, cheers to you, Matt. A tip of the glass, too. Because not only does this podcast bring it out into the world, what's happening for cider, but by you leaving a review and rating, you actually bring up through the little, I don't know what they call it, like the library in iTunes when people are scrolling through and trying to find cider and anything to do with it. It brings up the focus for this podcast and lets people know that this is a topic. So thanks again. And if any of you out there in Ciderville, like Matt, can take a moment to leave a review and rating, it would help a whole bunch, not only to me, but again, I believe the cider industry overall.
Going up.
When this podcast episode goes live, and you might be hearing it this week, February 9th, I'm actually in Chicago, and on the day that it goes live, I'm at Chicago CiderCon, and I have a number of folks that I've lined up to record some chats with, and I think we're going to really, really be in for some interesting topics coming up. So that's some of the things that we could look forward to. In addition, while I'm out there in Chicago, I know I'm going to be thinking, you know, dang, there's a whole bunch of folks listening from Ciderville who are not in Chicago. So I wanted to make this particular chat kind of special for everyone out there in Ciderville who maybe aren't commercial cider makers and who aren't Chicagoans. I think that's what they're called. And aren't going to Chicago Cider Week or the Chicago Cider Summit. You might be on the other side of the world, in your own perfect spot of Ciderville. So I thought, let's go right into this chat with Llorenç Frigola from MoMA. And it's a cooperative. He'll be telling you all about it. But let me give you a little backdrop of the story on how this particular chat was recorded. This is a continuation of the series of chats that I was able to have really the privilege of recording while in Gijón in the area called Asturias. This is a region of Spain, while attending the International Hall of Gala Ciders. Now, the International Hall of Gala Ciders is basically a cider fest, kind of like the Chicago Cider Summit, where you have all the makers there, they're serving, they're talking, they're really kind of showcasing what they have brought to this one epic event. I was able to meet up with Lorraine then
and have this particular chat. I didn't know a lot about MoMA. The website is in Spanish or Catalonian, I suppose, because they have their own language there. It's like a variation, if you will. And I'm finding that's true a lot in Spain, that there's little, you know, kind of twangs like we have in the U.S. if you're down in Louisiana versus out in California or up in Maine or North Carolina or Colorado. There's just a little bit of a twist to the language that really brings its own flavor. So that's the setup. This was pre-recorded. I've been holding on to it and really excited to roll it out. So without further ado, let's both grab a glass now, because you know I will be grabbing many glasses and raising it high to each and every one of you this week when this episode goes live and I'm at the conference. And join this chat with Lorenz Frigola from MoMA in Catalonia. This is a fantastic opportunity to really get to speak to cider makers like yourself and find out what is happening in your backyard that no one else has even imagined that could be taking place. So why don't we begin there and talk a little bit about your location exactly, because in Spain, as I know it, the cider is being made in Asturias and Basque, and you know, I ask about, well, Spanish cider, people are like, no, there's no Spanish cider. How do you see your cidery? How would you define it?
So, in fact, in our area, in 500 kilometers, there is no production of cider. So we started 3 years ago trying to have more value added to our fruits. Okay. We are fruit producers from desert fruits. Oh. Only the desert fruits in our area, in Mediterranean area.
So what kind of fruits would that be that you've been producing?
Only apples.
Only apples.
Yeah.
So you've been producing apples for how long?
After 55 years.
55 years,
yes, because
wow.
This year we celebrate the 50th anniversary of our cooperative.
Wow.
So we are involved in a cooperative. We produce about 3,000 tons. The cooperative, 30,000 tons. So, in fact, it's quite new in our area.
Yeah.
But we are in a very well-located area, very touristic. Plenty of people in the campings from Netherlands in June, July.
Yes.
August, mostly from people from Barcelona, etc., mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. Spain. So we could profit this tourist location, no? So
yeah.
to try to make something. So we were traveling, learning about cider. In fact, this Easter we went to be to British Columbia, but finally we couldn't.
Wow.
So we went in Herefordshire. Asturias, Basque Country, Brittany, Normandy.
Wow, you really traveled around, kind of on cider research?
Yes.
Wow,
talking
okay,
to
good.
Some people, etc. And finally we choose the line, the United States and Canada line, for trying to make something completely different than in Spain. Because in our area, people likes cava, likes champagne, you know,
mm-hmm.
but doesn't like cider.
Oh, so, interesting.
We try to do a cider very, very, what's the name?
Kivet,
cider?
No.
Trasvase.
Racking it over, yeah.
We racked a lot several times. We filter several times.
Okay.
So we try to do
I can
very
see the clarity in your cider.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And finally, we microfilter it and put carbonated CO2, trying to have a product very, very neutral. Adapted to Catalan
taste buds. So I just had a sip of your cider. I think it actually for the first time. It's a very clean, very brilliant, very light yellow hue to it. So it feels like that kind of the filtration that you're using, you know, that kind of profile. And I'm thinking that you're not adding sugar to this too.
Yes, a little bit.
A little bit, okay.
Yeah.
And
it's a semi.
Okay. So you're not necessarily stopping fermentation, but you're filtering the cider to stabilize it for bottling. And you have small bottles, what I would call like a 12-ounce size bottle, kind of like a classic American beer bottle size.
Yeah.
Is that mainly how you're packaging your cider?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
Next week we start with 0.75 liters.
Oh, okay, a much larger bottle.
Yes, very prepared for Christmas.
Oh.
It's a special product, a little bit aged with oak.
You put it in oak. That's totally different than anything anybody's doing around here.
We try to make something different for this year. And in fact, we would like to develop two or three new products every year. Trying to show to Catalan people
the diversity.
All that is possible with apples. No, this year we tried. We started with snacks, apple snacks. You know,
apple snacks. Yeah. What kind of apple snack did you have? Like, were you drying it or?
Not so dry. It is more with like a gum.
Chewy.
Smooth. What's the name in English?
Are you just taking the raw apple and kind of cutting it into pieces?
Cutting like this.
And slicing across
the
hydrator. Hydrator, right. And so it's a little kind of chewy. That's a great way to go.
Also, we make some compotas, French compota. Confitura, French confitura. So confitura, like in Spain, is jellies. Like marmalades, but a little bit different.
Sure.
Also vermouth, but you know vermouth is only for wine products, so aperitif, but it's cider aperitif. Trying to develop a little bit.
So I want to talk to you about the cooperative, because I think about that in like with coffee producers, but for apple producers, this is how many people are involved with the actual cidery, or is it the orchard is separate and then you're
In fact, this cooperative was founded 50 years ago with 75 people, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we are 24 free producers, free growers.
Okay.
But the cidery and this farm is our farm, it's a particular one.
Okay.
We buy the products to the cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
We send the products to the cooperative, but we rebuy another time.
Wow.
Because in fact, it's a very small, small plan.
Sure.
But due to the fact of this cooperative, this is the cooperative economy. We can produce cider not only 1 month a year, but 12 months a year, because we sell apples all the year. So there is second and third category apples during all the year that we can mill for cider or for juices. We make juices also. We grow apples after 55 years, but cider we started 2 years ago. In fact, 1 year ago in full category, in full production.
So you harvest the apples now, right? This is the time of year that you harvest.
Yeah, okay.
And are you pressing all those apples into juice? And then storing the juice, or do you?
We store the apples.
You store apples, okay.
Yeah, for selling all the year.
All the year.
In the cooperative.
Right.
And after we take for processing 3 months, 4 months, etc.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The products that when we open the cells, There is another small percentage that apples were not in good conditions, sure. Aesthetic or cosmetic conditions.
Right, right.
But sometimes they are very, very good, very sweet, very
yes.
colored, but they have some
imperfections around there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That you know, cider makers don't worry about because we go for the flavor and for the richness of the apple. So what kind of apple varieties do you have? Are they culinary apples, or do you have bittersweet or bitter sharp?
No, we have desert apples, culinary apples.
Okay.
Desert apples, mainly. So we start with galas, several mm-hmm. golden, several red delicious, mm-hmm. One granny smith, several fujis, varieties
okay.
of fujis.
Yeah.
And finally we finish with pink lady.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But mainly for cider, we produce 80%, this is several mixtures, but we 70-80% with Granny Smith, who is more acid.
Okay.
For us, it's more
yeah.
convenient.
But I'm not really tasting that in your cider.
No?
I mean, I get some acid, of course, but not to the degree that it's making me kind of pucker or... So I think you're doing a really nice, balanced job there.
I try.
Where did you learn cider making?
I studied agricultural engineers.
Oh.
So a little bit, we studied a little bit fermentation.
Oh.
But in fact, we learned this last year, trying to read a lot. I have all the English books about cider.
Oh, cider making. Okay, good, good. And there's some good ones out there.
And all these troubles that I
sure.
explained to you.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, next week we will be in Somerset.
Oh, well, that's
all the family trying to visit one or three.
Wow.
We have appointments with two or three visits each day in
yeah.
a route, in a yeah. cider route.
Yeah, you're going to have some fun up there, aren't you? Oh, my goodness. I love that UK cider. I'm kind of curious. Is there one book that stood out that has helped you a lot? One book that you go to at all for your cider making? You said you read a lot of books.
What's the name?
Claude Jacquelet from Quebec, I believe.
The
new Cider Maker's Handbook. Yeah. Yeah, I have a link to that on my website, and it's kind of like an encyclopedia for yeah. cider makers. Yeah, that's a great, great one to have.
There's another one, American woman, I couldn't remember the name.
Annie Prolick. She wrote it many years ago with Lou Nichols.
I don't know.
Yeah, but... yeah, well, there's a couple out there, so that's fantastic. So you learned how to do that. It sounds like you're still in the process of studying cider making, as everyone does.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen for the reception of your cider in your region? Who's drinking this? Is it both men and women?
So it's young people.
Okay.
It's like artisanal beer,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes.
And of course, actually, supermarkets and good shops, food shops, they try to help local producers. So I said supermarkets mm-hmm. must clean their image, having local products.
Okay.
Yeah, so sometimes they go, okay, you are local, so no problem.
Excellent.
You can sell in local supermarkets directly to
wow.
our chain, so
wow.
it's a big opportunity for us with a pass to the centralization.
Absolutely.
Or central logistic warehouse. No?
Right.
Sometimes it's complicated for us, this. So it permits start small by small, in a small capacity,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and try to learn an awful that's
as you go
runs.
Along. Well, it's all pretty new. I'm hearing that. So
this is a very great opportunity in Europe, so you know, because French for us is a very good example. French, North Italy also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Spain is very. It's a little bit in retard. Not prepared for this, but we are learning how to promote local products, local foods, and like this. And young people likes, young people prefers these products. So I think we must change.
It's very exciting. It's very exciting in that way. Now, you said that you're looking at new products. So you have this as your first cider, right, and your only cider that you're producing right now. When you look at the future, what are some of the ciders that you're thinking, geez, now I'd like to try making that? And you're seeing probably a lot in your travels. Where would you like to take your cider making?
What would you like?
Where would you like to take your cider making? Like there's some cider makers here are putting hops in their cider.
Okay.
And they're putting fruit. What?
No.
What are you thinking there in terms of your cider?
For example, I have here we have had several ideas. For example, we will produce in the next month. Balsamic vinegar.
Right.
We do actually vinegar, but
nice.
New vinegar. Also, perry.
Oh.
A cider more brut than this. So we have some projects. And this is two or three, we produce vermouth. So the vermouth aperitif, but it's in dark color. We will produce in. In yellow or white color, like some ones of here. And also there is some liquors very typical in some regions in Spain.
Okay.
And we like to have in our boutique, in our showroom, where we make the explanations, the visits, etc.
So
trying to show how it's all these things are possible about apples.
Yes, that's fantastic. So let's talk about visiting your location. If a cider tourist came to your region, they would be able to go and have a taste of the cider, like we would call that a tasting room.
Yeah.
Is that what somebody could expect? If I came to visit your site, I would be able to see a tasting room where I could say, can I try some of your cider? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have an interior patio where we make the like tasting room, no? Because the weather in summer or most of weeks are perfect in our region. And during the visits, we show the history, the form that our fruit production was evolved last year, because now we are producing in a wall.
In a wall.
What's the name in English? We said.
Well, a wall is. I know what a wall is.
Mon fruitier in Francais. Apples, like.
Espalier? Where it's all. The apples are all going flat.
Okay, yeah.
Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's beautiful. Yeah.
But I don't know this name. We show traditional French system that we use nowadays. How we are evolving to this production, trying to prune mechanically, to thin also mechanically, and how will be in the future the picking with all people with machines. You know, in California,
you use machines. Or
no,
not yet.
I have several.
Several
videos or pictures from, for example, what's the name in California?
Robotic pickers, mechanized.
Yes, and another one from Israel who are picking the machine. Apples automatically.
Right.
Yeah? So people arrive to imagine how will be growing.
Mm-hmm.
And fruit production in 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
After we explained the history, the cider in Asturias, Basque Country, a little bit United States, like this.
It's an educational center.
Yeah. We show why we choose this American style.
Really? Okay.
You said here, you said, Cidra de Nueva Expresión.
New expression. That's kind of exciting, kind of terminology there.
And also they said Cidra del Nuevo Mundo.
Cidra?
New world. Cider from the new world.
Oh, the mundo?
We hear, you know, in Europe, yeah, ciders from American, we said, the cider from the new world or new expression or like this.
I see, I see. That's the roots of it. That makes total sense.
And after we show the machines and taste room, finally, for juices, ciders, etc.
Wow. This is a big experience. Yeah, if you go there. Wow. But getting back to your orchard, you're allowing the apples to drop, or do you shake the trees, or do you have, you don't have mechanized production on your orchard, right?
No, we pick the apples by hand.
By hand, okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Mostly from the directly to the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And after, when the picking period is finished, the apples who come from the cooperative, the cell room, mm-hmm, in atmosphere,
yes,
a dynamic atmosphere control it. So
sure,
this is the form of conservation for the apples during all the year.
Mm-hmm.
These apples are very clean because they are picked by hand also.
Yes.
Put in cells, trying to set us, mm-hmm, to sell like desert fruits.
Mm-hmm.
But because of this month in cell conditions, some cosmetic products,
right,
cosmetic problems,
right,
sometimes,
right,
could evaluate, right, and they are very, very, very clean, very, very healthy also.
Right.
So the fermentation is very simple to orientate.
Sure.
In one.
Sure. Yeah. What kind of press are you using?
Actually, we are receiving. In 2 years, we have had, explaining the history, four presses.
Oh, four presses, okay.
Because we started making trials with a mini Pimer.
Tiny one. Yeah, well, you got to start somewhere.
After a wood press, after a French press,
okay,
mostly by wine.
Okay.
But in the fourth pressing was broken.
Oh, dear.
Because it was 40 years old.
40 years old. Well, that happens.
And after we buy it another from wine, so we start in very low conditions, not with good yield, but no, doesn't matter. It permitted to have our process, our formula, our,
sure,
conditions, trying to have this product.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now we are receiving a machine from Slovenia, Bell Press.
Okay.
For juices also, the old one.
Sure, that'll move it along. Yeah. Is that what you're going to be using this fall, that Bell Press?
Yeah.
Is that the first time that you're using it? Or
Next week.
Next week for the first time? Good luck. I'm sure you'll be fine. Well, that is really, really exciting. And I think that I've never been to your region. I'm wondering, what would be the main airport to come into to visit your cidery?
So our nearest airport is Girona.
Girona, yeah.
In fact, next week we are receiving groups of 20 people from America who make a bike route in our area.
A bike route, wonderful, wow. And they're stopping at your cidery, specific for cider.
Yeah, they will stop at our cidery.
Awesome.
So there will be, I think, one or two groups every week.
Wow.
Because until summer, August, and what's the name of springtime to autumn, excuse me.
Wow. That is really, really exciting. My goodness.
So you ask it about
the airport
of Girona,
yeah,
and
yeah,
Barcelona, of course, because Girona is a small airport.
Yeah.
For low-cost companies.
Right.
Very interesting for go to our partners here in Poland, also Sweden, also
Estonia.
Estonia. Yeah. We have flights from to Estonia, I think.
Wow.
So
Paris?
Of our partners here, we are very well collaborating with this airport.
Well, that's good, because I feel like I flew in here no problem, but to get back to Paris, where I have to then fly home to, could have been a 13-hour flight, you know, but it's not. I got it down to 4 hours, but it's very easy to fly into Asturias, but it's a little bit harder to fly out of here, and I think they do that on purpose. In all the best ways. So if I landed in Barcelona, how long of a trip would it be?
Girona, you have 100 kilometers to Girona.
To Girona.
And after, perhaps 30 kilometers to the coast, where we are situated.
All right.
We are in Costa Brava. Costa Brava is a well-known place, very touristic
area. For tourists, yes. Beautiful beaches.
Yes, small beaches.
Yes.
In the well nature, plenty of trees near the coast.
I was wondering, what the climate for apples, it seems like it's kind of arid, but it's not, is it?
No, we are in the irrigation region.
Okay.
So, in fact, you are right, we are in the south part that could be planted, perhaps, the apples.
Okay. Not much further south than that.
In the sea level. Perhaps if you plant apples higher, you can plant or grow apples more in the south.
Right,
perhaps at 700 meters, 1,000 meters. After in the south of Spain, also in Morocco, they have apples.
They have apples,
but in
higher
conditions.
Regions. I wonder if they're making cider in Morocco. Do you know?
No.
Yeah. So, do you know if there's a history, like a much older history of cider in your region? Was that something that people were making 1,000 years ago? Or
No, you haven't. Some people try it. Perhaps some enologists in small condition like these.
So what's the difference? Why are you able to do it and people couldn't do it a long time ago? Is it because of the technology and refrigeration and those controls?
No, I think it's because of the mentality.
Oh, that's too simple.
Yeah, because you must be quite
inquisitive and...
or innovative.
Sure.
So, I was involved in. I studied agricultural engineer, food factories, designing food factories a lot of years and like this. So I was involved in food factories, meat, etc. Cooked products, pre-cooked, ready meal products, etc. So we have the opportunity to visit all the world, to work, to travel all around the world.
Right.
So you must, people in Spain must be more innovative.
Mm.
So
here you are.
I had the opportunity to have all these feedbacks.
Yes, absolutely. But you chose cider. I mean, you could have made apple wine. Right, you could have increased the amount of sugar in the apple and made a wine, but you chose cider instead. And I'm just kind of curious, is there a reason why that you said, well, I don't want to make wine, I want to make this much lower alcohol. What is the alcohol level of this
wine? 5.5, 6.
Okay, yeah.
Really, it's very normal because people from wine try to have products in less alcohol, 5 mm-hmm. or like this.
Right.
Frisantes.
Frisantes.
No, we have lost the gas in this case, but very frisantes, a little bit sweet.
Yes.
So it's the Italians are very clever with this.
Oh, okay. All right.
Frisante, they have the machines, etc. They have the technologies.
Mm-hmm.
Low alcohol, frisante are quite sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, It's a perfect match, and I imagine that as you're introducing this, that maybe some of the other apple growers are, do you think that there might be some other folks in your region saying, I'd like to make some cider?
Yes, I think. Perhaps in some years they try to develop, perhaps not in our region, but perhaps in another part of Catalonia like this.
Yeah, it's amazing. I wonder, what is the government? Is there agricultural support from the Department of Agriculture in Spain for doing something like this? Because this is really a new venture for the apple growers in all of Spain. I mean, if you're growing apples and you have a large quantity and you're growing more than you could actually be selling, I would think that the government that kind of oversees agriculture would be like, well, let's give these folks some tax breaks, mm-hmm. or let's give them some incentive. Are you seeing anything like that?
Yeah, we can have exactly this, the problem that you said.
Oh.
Because we have some helps from the European Union.
Right.
To renovate or to invest in, but you said the agricultural sector, they only know one thing to do. So they put 10 hectares more,
right.
and finally
right.
there's too much product in the market.
Yeah.
So, but in Catalonia, our government tried to innovate a lot, to put the innovation in our minds.
Okay.
There's some departments or some agencies in our government mm-hmm. that we are doing very well in innovation for companies, food companies, industrial companies, trying to develop the innovation.
Perfect.
In our minds, in our companies, etc. Trying to export also, etc.
Yeah. Now your apple orchards are about 50 years old.
No.
They're much older.
No, we started 50 years old, but in our region, apples must be, when they have 20 years, we put another variety.
Really? Wow.
Yeah,
so you're
very, we need to invest a lot.
Wow.
Because of the genetics, because sometimes we have another varieties, new varieties, more color, more sweet, more, I don't know, more bigger, more sweet. Or sugar.
So it kind of seems like a bit of a scientific approach. So is there, this is not an organic product. It's not like,
So you're, not for the moment, no.
Yeah. And is there planting of new varieties that are more like that bitter sharp or bitter sweet?
Yes.
Are
we're starting next year.
You're starting next year.
We have had experimentation about 30 varieties from Asturias, Basque Country, France, also Italy, and stuff like this.
Yeah.
Next year we start with some French varieties, more specific for the product that we would like to develop mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. next year's.
Yeah, because I think, and speaking to some of the orchardists or apple farmers around the world, they'll say, well, maybe the French variety should just stay in France because they grow best in France. Or, there's something that really grows really well where I live in New England or out in the Pacific Northwest. But from your background, what are your views on that? Obviously, you're bringing some apples that haven't ever really grown in your region before. What are you expecting to see there?
We have had a lot of problems with new varieties who come from another part of the world and put in different conditions. They have some problems. But actually with IRTA, who is our research department, and ENSA, who is from New Zealand mm-hmm. research department, mm-hmm. we have a joint venture, and we develop around 10,000 apple trees every year. And after we select 10 or six every year, looking for new flavors, colors, new varieties, trying to have a club perhaps in the future, like Pink Lady, etc.
Right.
So we are investing a lot in genetics, in new varieties.
Wow. So let me make
perhaps
sure.
in these new apples could be a good apple.
For your region.
For juice or for cider. We have apples, as you know, the meat inside, what's the name? It's red.
Red flesh,
like
yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I want to just make sure I understand what you were saying. So you're putting in about 10,000 new apples every year?
With
the wood scion, you're grafting?
No,
you're planting.
It's another technology.
Okay.
It's, what's the name in English? I can't remember. It's laboratory. They develop in laboratory.
Okay.
More fast than that.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Graphing. Yeah.
What do you say?
Well, that would be like a genetic type of...
What was the name in English?
Grafting.
Grafting.
Grafting, yeah.
So it's another technology. But about all these varieties, after we choose the different ones or best ones in color and growing. And
wow. So it's in
So we select small ones, small
right.
quantity.
But that's in a very controlled setting, right, in the laboratory. Yeah. And then you're kind of testing these trees or these small saplings yeah. out in the farm,
yeah.
probably trying to match the soil to whatever's working best there. You must have to do quite a bit of irrigation, like a lot of, you know what I mean by irrigation, like water
yeah.
For your apple orchards. Is that true? Is that a correct?
I couldn't understand.
Do you have to have lots of water that you're bringing into the orchard, or is there enough rain?
No problem. Micro irrigation,
right. A drip? Like a drip?
Right,
okay. Okay, all right. Wow. You know what's so fascinating about this is you're working in a climate that people wouldn't normally think for apples, and yet apples have been there for a very long time. But still, you're thinking way out of the box and bringing in these other new innovation for apple growing. I mean, if we look, like, probably not in our lifetime, but, you know, 100 years from now, what you have started, the seed that you planted for your region, it's going to have tremendous value, you know, for the long term. And even for the short term, you're going to be getting some amazing research out of this and hopefully success all the way around. I mean, what you're doing, you're already making a terrific cider, you know, but the potential of that research, at that research level, is really, really exciting, not just for your region, but for the world. Because, you know, again, I look at, like, okay, what's like a typical place to grow apples? And I wouldn't think where you are, but of course you're doing it. I mean, it could happen.
But you know, there's no cider production in Chile. Argentina, you know Argentina?
I had somebody from Chile, Quebrada del Chacao. A Chilean cider maker. I had
in Argentina also. What's the name of Argentina?
I don't know. There's been somebody they've been talking about from Argentina, and I have to hook up with the chap.
No, we have apple production in
everywhere, right? And quite a high amount.
Russia.
I know. I haven't
Japan.
Been Japan, right? I know. I spoke to the folks who are running the Tokyo Cider Collection, and I so I found out quite a bit about the Japanese apple production there, and I haven't aired that podcast. By the time our chat goes live, that podcast will be going live, and they just put up their second Cider Fest, which is going to be taking place in November of this year, and there's two different regions in Japan where they're growing apples, and there have been, you probably know this, but there's all these like small producers of cider, and they aren't really exporting it because they don't have enough, but it's, the excitement is there, like people are really looking for the cider apple, and it's just like, I just feel so happy for the apple, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're kind of the product, but it's like this, it's like the king of the fruit, the apple, isn't it? You know.
The other day, I was, because I am the vice president of the cooperative, by the president also of the IGP, Indicazione Geografica Protegida.
Like an appellation, like a control for, okay. Like you get the label on okay. for that
so
region.
In Spain, there is only one for apples. Poma de Girona, Poma de Girona.
Okay. Yeah.
Only for apples, we have one. So. The other day I was explaining in TV that apple is miracle fruit.
Miracle fruit.
Because
yeah.
in the United States, and it was in 2012, there was a congress of experimental biology or like this,
mm-hmm.
and they tried to 160 women trying to eat apple every day.
Mm.
So the HDL, so the cholesterol, the bad cholesterol,
the bad cholesterol
after 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, decrease it 23%. And increase 3% the LDL, the good cholesterol.
Good cholesterol. Wow.
And also they thin 1 kilo 0.4, eating more calories. So they said, miracle fruit. Apple is the miracle fruit.
Well, and you heard it here, folks. That's right on. That's the way we all kind of feel about the apple, isn't it?
And I don't know if you know, there's only for acid uric.
Yes.
For the... was only for the when we have we explained in our showroom in Spain. I couldn't perhaps explain so well in English. All the nutraceutic or the advantages to drink cider because one apple a day gives the doctor a day, but also these polyphenols pass to the cider.
Mm-hmm.
So there is three principal points.
Very healthy.
For the potassium first, for tension, about the pectins in the assimilation of the sugar also, in the intestines, and also about polyphenols trying to capture radicals for the... envejecimiento celular. So when the cells when the cells decrease, no? It's some advantage. And also with the vinegar.
With the vinegar, apple cider vinegar, a little bit of a tablespoon a day or a little shot glass. I've certainly done that myself.
I don't practice so much with vinegar.
No. Well, just drink cider. Just drink cider, yeah. Yeah, I think folks are always kind of like shying away. Well, you can't say it has health benefits, but you just listed a whole bunch of benefits and research to boot. So there, that says it all. And I think it's...
You said this. It's very exciting to develop new product in a new region and trying to... Trying to shake mentalities, trying to shake people.
Shake the tree a little bit.
Shake our mind.
Yeah, and you are, you are. It's really, really exciting. I can't wait to follow up on this and see where you are even a year from now with your region and anything that's coming out with new products. So I hope that you'll be able to visit again on Cider Chat in some way or another, whether we Skype or something like that, and we get to talk and... See what's happening there and if there's any other new research. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to myself and to the listeners of Ciderville.
Thank you, Ria.
Yay.
Fascinating to imagine apples being grown in a region where rice used to be grown. It's just kind of like, wow. I am so fascinated by the journey of the apple and certainly what they're doing at MoMA. Thank you so much for spending time with us on Cider Chat and all the best to everyone there at the MoMA Cidery. We look forward to hearing more as your journey continues. And thank you to the good patrons of this podcast. You too can become a patron of Cider Chat by going to the Cider Chat Patreon page. And if you're a commercial cidery, I'd love to have you join in on the Cider Going Up campaign page. You can find that at ciderchat.com. Well, there's a lot of fun podcast episodes coming up, like this one this week with Loren Fregola from MoMA. I have another bilingual podcast, too, that might be rolling out next week. I'm just not sure. I do want to catch up on all of the chats I had in Asturias like this one, because there's some cool stuff happening. So stay tuned for that. In the meanwhile, I'm getting ready for a big trip and have a lot to do for that. So I'm going to bid you adieu for now and hope that your week ahead is filled with good cider and good conversation. This is Maria Windcaller signing off for now. I look forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Going up.
Yeehaw!